a safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken again, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
Good evening, and thank you so much for joining us and making Cradle My Heart Radio part of your weekend, the capstone to your weekend, if it is. We appreciate that. We're really glad to have you with us for this, our final capstone broadcast. We will be ceasing producing new episodes as of tonight's broadcast, and we really want to thank you for listening and for your support. I know many of you have become donors. We'll continue the work of Cradle My Heart as I will go and train Christian students on pro-life apologetics, working with Scott Klusendorf and the Life Training Institute, and presenting the case for life. And please get in touch if you're interested in that for your school. We have an underwriting grant so that I can come and speak to your students without cost to your organization. Just send me an email at kim@cradlemyheart.org if you are interested in having me do that for your school or your church or your pregnancy center. I have presented the information in all of those settings. I'll continue writing and speaking, and the broadcast aspect may be revived at some point in the future, but not likely through the end of 2018, just due to some family obligations and some other pressures as well. But we are so blessed and so grateful that God has given us the time that He has to proclaim His love for those who have been impacted by abortion, by pregnancy decisions, and really by, I think, our sexual behavior in general. There have been so many stories, whether or not it came to abortion. You know, many people have said to me, I never had an abortion, but I certainly could have, based on the way that I was behaving and the way that my lifestyle was unfolding. And so I'm excited that in this last broadcast, we're able to bring you a story of brokenness and redemption and hope and inspiration, the story of our guest, Willie Peterson, who's joining us on the phone from Colorado. Willie, how are you?
I am great, Kim, and it's good to hear your voice. It's a pleasure to join you this evening.
Well, and Willie, as we noted on our blog preview about this broadcast, you're not a person who's been impacted by abortion, but wow, you have so much to say about the faith journey for us as women, for us as believers, that I think is really going to resonate with everyone who's been impacted by a sin that causes both grief and guilt, sins that cause loss, if you will. And I also want to just say welcome home. Tell us about the recent mission journey that you've been on.
Thank you, Kim. I just returned a week ago from Haiti. I was down in Haiti with 15 incredible women, and we were ministering to, it was through an organization called Healing Haiti, and we went to Mother Teresa's orphanages and areas where we ministered to people that were very close to death, that were gravely ill. And we also ministered to the elderly. So it was an incredible journey. And as always in those types of trips, we think we're going to comfort people. And there is certainly an element of that. But boy, does God teach us through those experiences of His redemption and loss. It was an incredible trip.
Well, Willie is married to Wayne Peterson, and Wayne has been a great friend of Faith Radio and, of course, an alumnus, I should say. And Wayne and Willie now serve together in global ministry with reachbeyond.org. And even in retirement, you two are very active, serving on various boards, volunteering for several ministries around the world. And Willie, let's go back to the beginning of your story. You and Wayne are still kind of newlyweds, I know. It's just a whole new season in life. But you've had a number of careers. You worked as a flight attendant. You worked also as a dental hygienist. Then you were a television spokesperson. And then you had your own real estate business. And your faith journey unfolded in, in some kind of eclectic ways and different paths along those days as well. Tell us how things were for you in the beginning when you had that bright future unfolding for you as you set off to pursue that first career in aviation.
Well, I was born and raised in a Christian family, and my parents gave me everything money can't buy. We had little of what money could buy, and that included traveling. And so as a young woman, it was my dream to just see the world. And the only way I knew to do that was go to work for the airlines. That made the most sense to me. So on your website, it tells the story of my first airplane ride was actually to fly to Atlanta to interview with Delta to be a flight attendant. So I started that journey with full of hope and full of joy and excited to see the world, and I launched into that career, and just 3 years later ended up marrying a flight attendant's brother. So that was my early start to my career. That marriage, Tim, ended after a few short years. There was infidelity and a lot of things going on in that marriage. So I ended up going back to college, got a degree in dental hygiene, and then married one of my patients in the dental hygiene practice. So by the time I was in my mid to late 30s, I had already been married and divorced twice. It wasn't exactly the dream of the white picket fence and the 2.5 kids that I had growing up.
Mm-hmm.
So from there, you know, with my dreams all shattered, that's when, Kim, I really launched into a season of wandering in the wilderness where I made very poor choices in my personal life. My professional life was soaring. I was doing things and God was giving me opportunities that I could have never imagined. So my professional life was just taking off at lightning speed. But in my personal life, I was just in and out of one relationship after another, making very poor decisions. But through those years, Kim, God kept pursuing me. He had given me the basics and the roots to know better, and yet I chose differently. Finally, after several years of wandering in the wilderness and my heart being broken over and over again, I found myself one night on my knees asking God to please forgive me for the choices I was making. And I committed then and there, and it was in 1995, that I would pursue God with everything I had, including my personal life, which I had always sort of left apart from any commitment to Christ. So it was on that evening in 1995 that I fully committed to follow God and make better choices, make choices He would choose for me and my personal life.
Willie Peterson is our guest, and she's sharing her story of faith along with her life as a career woman. And once you made that commitment, Willie, it was, some might say there was sort of a new wilderness period where God did not really grant you relationships for a long time.
That's true. I stayed single for 25 years, and all the while, Kim, I was praying what I considered a very audacious prayer, and that is that God would bring me a godly husband. And if He chose not to do that, I was fine being single. But I felt that He had made me so relational, and I so wanted to show God that I could prove to Him that I could be a godly wife. But there were years and years where that didn't happen. Through that journey, I was fully committed to Christ. But what I came to realize is it took a tragedy in my health life for me to understand that I had never really forgiven myself of wandering in the wilderness. And I had shared with you earlier, Kim, that I was diagnosed in 2014 with cancer, and I had to go through surgery and chemo and radiation and all the things that entails. And long story short, the doctors had to kill everything from my waist down to get rid of the cancer. And I can tell you that by the grace of God, I am completely cancer free. Nearly four and a half years later, there is not a cancer cell that is detectable in my body. But I went through a lot to get there. And through that process, God showed me that he loved me enough to physically take away all that history of my years of wandering in the wilderness that I had never let go of completely. God had forgiven me as far as the east is from the west for those years that I wasted, but I had never forgiven myself. And through the cancer treatments and all that ensued, God physically took away my physical history so I could finally see myself as the redeemed woman of God that he had always seen me as from the moment I had repented of my sins. But it took me going through that huge trial to finally understand who I was in him, and that I really could be the woman of God that he wanted me to be, because there was no history any longer.
Wow. Willie Peterson, our guest, and we're going to take a short break and then pick up the story. Willie, there's so many questions that I think people will benefit from hearing your thoughts. You know, this spiritual journey of waiting and the importance of being the new creation that we are when we are in Christ, and that, you know, that's his will for us as we let go of the old. We'll dig in and explore some of the spiritual dynamics of your story after a short break. Stay with us. We're talking with Willie Peterson, and this is Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003.
And please do, if you'd like to share a word of encouragement or your thanks for the sharing of such a personal story with our guest, Willie Peterson, our lines are open at 1-800-811-3003 here at Cradle My Heart Radio. This will be our final live broadcast, at least for this season and for the foreseeable future. And so we thank you so much for listening, and for those of you who have supported us with your prayers and by sharing the stories with others. And of course, because we're a nonprofit ministry, some of you have been donors as well, and we continue to look forward to that support as we concentrate more on live events and doing the writing that we're engaged in as well. So, Willie, when you were sharing your story with us, a few things really, really came to mind. First of all, this idea of waiting. 25 years, it's the desire of your heart to have a partner. And it's the desire of your heart to allow God to write that story and to do it the right way after, you know, these failed attempts on your part. I don't like the word failure, but, you know, however we want to express that. It didn't work out. You were married twice and it didn't work out. So now you're waiting on God. And some of us can't wait 25 minutes, much less 25 years.
Well, and Kim, I can tell you that it's only by the grace of God that I waited those 25 years, because patience is not my middle name. I can tell you that. But God also gave me such a calm and such a peace through those years. I so wanted his very best, and I knew what a mess I had made of things when I was making the decisions, and so that made it a bit easier, the heartbreak that I had gone through for all those years.
But from a practical point of view. I think sometimes seasons like that are so precious as we look back because we see, oh, I was so close to the Lord. But tell us about some of the spiritual practices maybe, or, you know, the shape of your relationship with the Lord during those 25 years when he was not providing you with a marriage partner.
Well, one of the key things to those years, Kim, was I had accountability women that I was very close to. God put women in my life who were also single for various reasons. Not all of them were single, but several of them were. And it was an important part of that journey for me to be able to sit down with other women who had dreams that God had not yet fulfilled in their own lives, and that together we journeyed. And community was so important to me, and that I would have women that I could love on, and there were women that could love on me, and it was a season where I had such incredible, tremendous growth for me personally that that growth and that accountability group filled any area in my life that seemed like it would be vacant. It wasn't. It just wasn't there. God filled that space, and he brought me women that held me accountable to the new journey I was on and walked with me, and they gave me such joy. It was a very sweet season, and that was a good way for me to wait. I grew so much during those years.
So getting the support that you need, whether through a Bible study group or at your church, but getting that support, and probably from women, not from men, even though the desire of your heart is to have this marriage relationship, that's wonderful wisdom, and I hope that we can take that to heart, because sometimes it's really difficult to learn from the experiences of others. And Willie, you know, I think one of the things that I so try and impress upon others is this notion of forgiving yourself. It's a little bit controversial even in abortion recovery circles. You know, some will say, well, that's not important. What's important is that you accept the forgiveness that Christ has won for you. And I know that you know that your theology is very sound. I trust that your faith is very mature, so that we're not in any way in conflict with God's word. But let's talk about this. You know, we have relationships with ourselves, right? I mean, you know, we have a self-regard, even if it's not the same as our relationships with other people. I mean, for me, with some of my growth in other areas of my life, being honest with myself, you know, in this journey of trying to become a healthy eater, you know, just realizing right. that I'm not very honest with myself at times, you know, to tell myself, well, I only had those healthy meals and gosh, I didn't lose the weight I was hoping to lose. And then, you know, forgetting or not being honest with myself about the things in between the meals. It's just a silly, small example, but self-honesty is a really important thing for me to have developed. Our relationships with ourselves matter. You know, and yes. when Jesus yes. said to love the Lord, you know, with all your heart, but love others as we love ourselves. I mean, that too, I guess, can engender some controversy. So how did it work out for you that things became different as you forgave yourself?
Well, as I forgave myself, you know, I always knew that God had forgiven me as far as the East is from the West, but I did not fully recognize until I was on the other side of cancer treatment that there was a part of me that was holding back because I did not feel worthy of God's dream of having a godly husband. And when Wayne called me, he had actually, I was a financial donor to Reach Beyond, the ministry that he headed up, and he had lost his wife to cancer. And he had called me and asked if we could just sit down for coffee. And we did that, Kim. And it was so interesting because I said, Wayne, how do you go through losing your life partner of 45 years? How do you begin to process that? And he turned to me and he said, Willie, how do you go through cancer and everything you've been through without a family? Because I have no children. My parents were deceased. And we had such an open and honest time of sharing, and he is the first one I told about what God had revealed to me one night when I was on the other side of these cancer treatments, that I was truly, there was no guilt in me anymore. There was no evidence of the life that I had had in the past. Not that God even needed to physically take it away, but He understood. Our Heavenly Father understands us so much more than we understand ourselves. And He understood that for me specifically, He needed to physically take away that history, so because He so longed for me to see myself as the woman He had seen me as. And it was quite interesting for me to share that with a man. Because I had grown to sort of not trust men, but Wayne was such a godly man, and I felt so comfortable and at ease with him. It was that was the first time that I verbally expressed what God had taught me through that journey, and how He had physically taken away that history that I could not let go of. And that's, of course, Kim, it's very dishonoring to God when we can't accept His full redemption and see ourselves the way He sees us. But He will go to the ends of the earth to prove to us how much He loves us and how He sees us.
Mm. And I think, you know, I've been counseling someone who, I'm trying to be extremely sensitive on this question, but, you know, to point out that it is dishonoring to God. I think there's something that happens, you know, in our grief, and our emotional wires get crossed. I know that that happens after abortion. So we're not allowed to grieve. We're told it wasn't a child. So we read all of that grief as guilt. And we don't want that experience to truly be over, because it's the only evidence that we were a parent of that child. And so we just cling to that guilt. We memorialize the pain, if you will. I know that that happened in my case. But I think that spiritually, you know, what you're describing too is something very close to it, but there's a real subtle difference whereby we don't want to see ourselves as the person who fell so far short of God's best for us. And so there's some level of denial almost, and where we just keep it all at bay instead of saying, yep, I did that. I'm capable of that. Without Jesus as Lord of my life, without the Holy Spirit directing me, I can go there. You know, and to truly accept that this is not shocking or scandalizing to God, that He knows it, and that, you know, He came to take away the sin of the world. I don't know if that makes sense and fits with what you're describing at all, Willie.
No, it does, Kim, because, you know, even though we can all say we're sinners and we've fallen short of what God expects of us, and that's absolutely true, sometimes our behavior is more public than others. And even if a lot of people didn't know, it's. I think the whole area of sexual sin, to me, there was always, for me personally, there always just seemed a little extra stigma with that sin. And I know God doesn't grade on the curve. You know, the ground at the cross is level. So all sins are equal. Sin is sin. It's black or it's white. But it's hard. For me, it's hard for the whole sexual area of sin and falling short of God's best. That for me, it was shameful, and it was hard to really believe that God could see me pure when there was so much evidence that I was not pure, at least from the secular world.
Mm. Willie, thank you for opening up and sharing again such a personal story, and also congratulations on your, you know, flourishing and godly marriage with Wayne Peterson and all of the fruit that it's bearing through your various ministries and missions. Thank you so much for being our guest tonight here on Cradle My Heart.
Thank you, Kim. It was my honor to join you. Thank you.
And if you'd like to learn more about Willie's story, we have some links at cradlemyheart.org where you can find out more. Stay with us. We've got time for some phone calls and some of our thoughts about overcoming that shame that Willie was talking about. Coming up next here on Cradle My Heart Radio.
seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003.
We're so glad that you're with us. And again, we'll continue to archive all of our material that we've been broadcasting for these last almost 7 years now at cradlemyheart.org so that you can listen on demand to our podcasts and to our daily features, sharing stories of one story at a time, how women are overcoming abortion grief and how they're choosing life and preventing abortion. And one of the things, you know, that we also have there is a free sample of Cradle My Heart, Finding God's Love After Abortion, the book that I wrote that really started this program back when we got things going and incorporated as a nonprofit. And I wrote the book as a result of offering a weekend workshop for the retreat setting when I was traveling in conference ministries, not retreat, but in conference ministry with Ruth Graham, Billy Graham's daughter. Ruth was kind to write a foreword for the book, and she really understands and she gets it that this issue is one that will stunt your spiritual growth if you do not bring it into the light and if you do not publicly seek some restoration. I think what Willie Peterson, our guest tonight, had to say toward the end of our conversation is so important, that, you know, our public, the things that happen to us publicly, whether it's a divorce and whether it's an abortion and only your close circle knows about it, these things that cause shame, it's going to require some kind of fellowship, some kind of other people knowing about it for us to be fully restored. And when we wrote Cradle My Heart, this chapter on Zacchaeus was one of the most challenging ones for me, because Zacchaeus was a person that Jesus Christ very publicly restored for his very public sin of extortion. Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, the worst of the worst, a Jew who was oppressing other Jews on behalf of the Roman Empire, and who lived in a palace or, you know, a mansion, a huge estate, through his ill-gotten gains. And on that Palm Sunday, as Jesus was making his way through Jericho, when Zacchaeus climbed up in the tree to see him, you know, I'm sure a lot of the faithful Jews who had heard who Jesus was and who believed that he was Messiah were completely upset that he told Zacchaeus, "I'm coming to your house today," right? I mean, the righteous, the oppressed, must have thought that Jesus had made a horrible mistake saying he was going to go and visit with Zacchaeus. But what happened when they got there is what was so so beautiful for me as one who has been restored so that I can publicly speak about the shame that was attached to what happened when I experienced abortion. And, you know, here's the thing that we need to understand about Zacchaeus's story. When Zacchaeus said he was going to give back, you know, half of his wealth, and then he was going to do these other extravagant gestures as a result of having met Jesus and seen him for who he is, what Zacchaeus was doing was fulfilling the temple requirement as to how to make restitution after being found guilty of crimes involving money and extortion. You know, this wasn't just a random thing. It wasn't just a random outpouring. Zacchaeus was doing what was required of him under the law as a person who wanted to be fully restored to community. And that required giving back. But you have to really bear in mind that this is the sequence that God ordained for Zacchaeus, is that he had to accept Jesus Christ as Savior, see him as such, declare him Savior, and then the impulse toward restitution kicked in, and Jesus blessed it and said, "That's awesome." I mean, we don't have that in Scripture, but I know he did. He's given him some sort of encouragement that, yes, your impulse toward restitution is right and proper. Now, we cannot, after an abortion, we cannot make up for it in this life. We simply can't. We don't have any right to end the life of another human being, which is what every abortion does. That is in God's hands alone. And God can never God can never exercise forgiveness at the expense of another person. That would be very, very unjust. Jesus never healed a person at someone else's expense. If you think about the stories of healings and forgiveness in the scriptures, with God, no one is ignored for the sake of another. And so after abortion, God has not forgotten the children, and neither should we. Restitution toward those we've harmed is God's practical yet radical plan to establish us in good standing with our children and in our world. And as we celebrate our new life after abortion, we're called to exercise justice in the here and now by paying back what was never ours to take. And again, this is not buying your salvation. This is not atoning. Christ's blood is the all-sufficient atonement for all sin. But this is an act of love and gratitude. And what could we possibly give God in return? Well, for me, there have been so many ways that this has played out and worked out. One has been, you know, just simply to speak the truth when someone asks me about my children. I'll often say, oh, and I have a child in heaven as well, because I had an abortion when I was 23 years old. And you'd be surprised how that simple truth gives others permission to confess and to start on their journey of recovery after abortion. Is it too much to sacrifice if we know that we're forgiven in Christ to say so? This can be one of the very simplest ways that we can begin to work restitution for the harm that our participation in abortion has brought into our lives and into the lives of others, to the losses that have accrued as a result of that choice. You know, some of the other things that we can do are simply to love and serve children. You know, whether it's in the nursery, at church, whether it's in your community, at a preschool, whether it's through taking the step to commit to be a foster or an adoptive parent, loving children is a beautiful act of restitution after abortion. You know, having new life changes everything. And it's my hope and my prayer for you that if you are forgiven and if you know that you are, that you've asked God to show you how best to live this out. And some of the answers will be so surprising to you. I mean, almost 10 years ago now, I became a living organ donor and donated a kidney to my sister. And that's something that chooses you. That's not anything that I necessarily chose to do. But when it happened and the way that experience unfolded, and I tell the story in Cradle My Heart, and I'm not boasting about it. I'm boasting about the fact that God saw fit to change the ending of my story, to take me from one who had participated in the taking of life and change me into someone who had participated in the saving of a life. And only God can write stories like that. And really, you know, it was a little bit fearful heading into that surgery. I'm not going to tell you that it wasn't, but we got through it. And it was just a blessing to be able to do that. And it's a blessing to be able to tell you that my sister's thriving and doing very, very well right now as a grandmother and as a healthcare executive and as my sister and one who knows the Lord and loves him. What is that worth? There are so many, again, there are so many surprising ways. My husband and I have sponsored children through Compassion International. If you'll ask God to show you, if you'll invite him to your home as Zacchaeus did, even if the rest of the world is scandalized that you, a person like you, would invite Jesus, I think you will be really, really blessed to see how he may answer that prayer. 1-800-811-3003 is our number, 1-800-811-3003. And, you know, I think one of the most important things that we can do to be able to get to that point is to take the chance to enter into fellowship to really seek our recovery. If you listen to Willie's story earlier this hour, she talked about waiting on the Lord, having a dream in her heart that she wanted God to fulfill, that he would give her a godly husband and a solid marriage after two divorces. And she said she spent time receiving the love and support of women who held her accountable in, you know, in Christian fellowship. Sometimes we may have to pursue that healing in ways that don't seem as if they're getting us toward the desired end. But if you've not yet taken the step to investigate abortion recovery, I really hope you will. You know, if you go to our resource page at cradlemyheart.org, you'll find so many different approaches that I know there's one that will fit with you, whether it would be a weekend retreat or Bible studies that meet weekly through the pregnancy help centers. And I've talked with enough women and men who have been reluctant and who say it would be too painful for me to go and talk about this experience, that I know that it's not an easy thing to do. And I know that because really there's always a spiritual battle for our recovery after abortion. I mean, the enemy of our souls does not want us healthy and well and speaking truth on this issue. But if you can take that chance in fellowship with trustworthy followers of Jesus Christ, I think you'll be astounded at how God will honor that risk in changing your life and in making your life so much more fruitful and productive and so much more peace-filled, so much more, so much more at peace. 1-800-811-3003 is our number, 1-800-811-3003. You know, as we follow Jesus, we do see these opportunities for selfless giving. Jesus' encounters show us how to give to those impoverished, whether it's in body, mind, or spirit, just as we were after abortion. And I've learned that as you draw near to him in prayer, he will draw near to you. That's a promise in James 4:8. At times, it may mean that you're called out of your comfort zone to love and care for someone very unlike yourself. I've had that experience. I'm sure you have too. But God will give you a heart to cradle as your very own. And again, it'll be astounding, I'm sure, for you. You may find a new role in your church. You may find new relationships with friends in faith will come your way. And as you continue on in your journey through this life with Christ, remember that those affected by abortion, like you, need you to reach back and show them what the road ahead can look like. And giving to the cause of America's unborn children in need of our care through supporting the pregnancy help community, I think, is a beautiful way for us to, again, honor God as we, you know, allow him to write a new ending for our stories. It's time for a short break, and then we'll come back and conclude our thoughts tonight. And again, you're welcome to join us at 1-800-811-3003. You can send us an email, kim@cradlemyheart.org, and reference all of our materials also at cradlemyheart.org. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.